one of the ministers here at St. Aidan's. And if you're new or visiting with us today, you've come on a very interesting day. For starters, it's hard to find a seat. Very sorry about that. We're going to enjoy lunch together after the service, which will be a great time to spend together and to share together as one whole church. And today we're taking a break from our series in Isaiah, and we're thinking about the theme, Jesus, Strong and Kind, just like the Colin Buchanan and City of Light song. They were on a great idea there. But this is not a theme just for kids, is it? Because Jesus is overwhelmingly shown to be strong and kind throughout the whole Bible, either as he's prophesied about in the Old Testament or as we see him in the flesh in the New Testament. And this is great because strong and kind is exactly the kind of Savior that we need, isn't it? We need a Savior who is strong enough to deal with our sin and our brokenness. A Savior who is strong enough to win out over the opposing ideologies in our world. A Savior who can deal with all of the challenging and very, at times, devastating situations that we face day after day and year after year. We need a Savior who is strong and kind. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to spend a little bit of time in this passage together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have your word and that you speak to us, and in your word you reveal the Lord Jesus, and in the Lord Jesus we find life. And we pray that today you will refresh our hearts. Help us to see him more clearly and to love him more dearly. Amen. I think this passage that was read for us by Diane just a moment ago is one of the best in the Bible for showcasing just how strong and kind Jesus is. So let's think now about his strength. At the beginning of the passage, Jesus is walking along with a large crowd, and a man named Jairus comes up to him in the crowd and begs Jesus for help because his little girl was deathly sick. And as a father, he was just terrified. Because it doesn't matter really how much he loves his daughter, at this point, he's helpless. There's nothing he can do for her. He's totally powerless to help her. He can't heal it, can he? He can't solve her problem. But he's heard of Jesus. And he's heard that Jesus is powerful. And rather delightfully, Jesus is in town today, which is a wonderful. He must have been just stoked to hear that. And so Jairus runs out of his house to see Jesus and begs Jesus, come and heal my daughter. And Jesus goes with Jairus, we're told. But it's not a quick trip through the crowd. Just imagine over lunch today trying to get to the food. It's not going to be a quick trip. You'll be stopped. You might be jostled. There'll be people in the round, and that's okay. It'll be great. But for Jesus, it meant that he couldn't move very quickly through the crowd. He was held up at various points. But at one point on his journey through the crowd, he and Jairus meet some messengers. And the messengers have come from Jairus' house and they say to him, your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Now, these are the worst words a parent can hear, aren't they? Your daughter is dead. And Jairus must have just fallen to the ground in despair because his whole world just caved in with those few words. But as he lay there on the ground in the dust, someone got down on the ground with him and gave him the greatest words he could ever hear. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Don't be afraid, just believe. Can you imagine then Jesus pulling him to his feet as he has fallen in the dust, and Jesus says to him again, don't be afraid, just believe. Can you imagine Jairus' face wet with tears and then covered with dust, looking at Jesus in confusion as Jesus lifts him from the ground and Jesus says to him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." These are amazing words for Jairus to hear. The best words for him to hear. But think about it. They're also the most terrible words that Jesus could ever say, aren't they? If he was powerless to help. To sort of raise his hopes and say, "Don't be afraid, just believe." But if Jesus can't do anything about this girl, what terrible thing to say. But Jesus backs up his words with real strength, doesn't he? Because as they arrive at the house and they see the girl's lifeless body, which is such a crushing sight for Jairus to see, Jesus sees the girl and he reaches down into death and he raises her back up to life again. You see, death had claimed this girl and Jesus claimed her back. He has power. Power to overcome death. Power to do the impossible. He is strong. Stronger than any foe or any opposition. There's nothing that can stand in the way of Jesus getting what he wants. There's nothing that can stand in the way of Jesus doing what is best in God's plan. Now, the world around us think that Jesus is weak. They think that he's dead, that he is powerless, that he's irrelevant, that he's just an idea. And I think we hear this day after day after day. It's like the air that we breathe, and it starts to affect us too. We start to feel these things. We can start to think them. We can think that Jesus doesn't really have that much to offer us, that he's a bit absent, that he's passive. That in the face of a really strong cultural movement and cultural pride that seems so anti-Jesus, he can seem just like a mist, a vapor with no substance. He can't stand up to the pressure. And we feel that, don't we? And we feel it in the face of the terrifying things in our own lives. Jesus can feel so small and so weak. On the night before Jesus was executed, he had dinner with his disciples. And over dinner, he knew that they were going to feel lost when he was gone. He knew that they would feel that he was powerless and finished when he was executed. And so he said these words to them in John 16. He said, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Just before Jesus submits to his own execution, he says, "I have overcome the world." The moment when he looks the weakest as he hangs there on the cross is the moment of his great victory. Because in his death and his resurrection, Jesus defeated entirely the power of death and sin and hell. He broke through the power of evil and wickedness and suffering and pride and greed and guilt and shame. And he nailed these things to the cross. He's freed us from their power. And at times our world might seem so troubling and it can loom so large and Jesus might look so weak, but looks are deceiving. Because Jesus is strong. He's stronger than he looks. His strength is currently hidden. We don't see it day by day as much. But on the last day, his glory is going to outshine the sun. And he'll be shown to be the blazing center of the universe. And everyone and everything will truly revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the author of life, who rules the nations with an iron scepter. He is the one who will judge the world and his sword will go out. But he is the one who is strong. And in his strength, Jesus says these words to you. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Don't fear, just believe.
I'm pretty sure if someone came up to you and said, can you explain to me, what's Jesus done for you? You'd be able to give them a decent answer. He lived a perfect life. He died a sacrificial death. He rose again. But what if someone came to you and asked the question, who is Jesus? What's he like? You might have to think about that one a little bit more, I suspect. What is Jesus like? There are some very special verses in the Bible where Jesus tells us exactly what he is like. We've just read them. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I am gentle and humble in heart. One commentator pointed out this is the only place in the Bible where Jesus specifically talks about his own heart. Gentle and humble. And that means Jesus is strong, but he's not harsh. He's patient. He invites weary people to come to him. He cares. We know that he's the most understanding person in the universe. He doesn't point fingers, but he welcomes with open arms. And even though God, he left the throne of heaven and humbled himself and became one of us, he swapped heaven for a manger. He made himself weak and vulnerable to become the payment for sin that we needed. He is God come down to earth. He is God's kindness personified. In our story today, the first story, on the way to Jairus' house, Jesus met a seemingly incurable woman, subject to bleeding for 12 years. No doctor was able to help her. She's run out of money to even seek help. And so she put her hope in Jesus. With the large crowd following him, she thought to herself, perhaps all I need to do is to touch his cloak. And then we read in verse 29, after she does that, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. The unhealable woman had been healed. That is the power of Jesus. That is the strength of God. And now we see Jesus's kindness. For this woman in faith had hoped for a cure, but she'd wanted to do it unseen. And probably a few reasons for that. She would have been considered ceremonially unclean. She couldn't have gone to the temple. According to Leviticus 15, anyone that touched her also would have been seen as unclean. So she would have been avoided. Physically and socially, this woman was an outcast. And Jesus immediately stops and he asks, "Who touched me?" The disciples point out there are people everywhere, so they're essentially saying, "What kind of question is that, Jesus?" But Jesus has a reason. You can imagine this poor woman's horror when he stopped. She just wanted to slip away back into the crowd, but he stopped and she comes forward. He wanted to bring this woman out into the open. You see, it was vital that it would be known that she was cured, that it was public. She would be received back. She would be welcome. She would no longer be an outcast. And so Jesus is actually showing his kindness by making this public. But I think he also wanted to make it clear to her that she wasn't healed because of a magic cloak. He wanted to give her something far greater. And he wanted to point out to her that it was faith. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And her life would never be the same. She had met Jesus, strong and kind. There are many such stories of Jesus' heart. One came to him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus said, "I am willing." When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And that, of course, resulted in the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and wept. We are told many times about Jesus's compassion. I love these words from an 18th century American preacher, Jonathan Edwards, and he preached these words. 300 years old, but very, very true. There is no love so great and so wonderful as that which is in the heart of Christ. He is one that delights in mercy. He is ready to pity those who are suffering. He delights in the happiness of all his creatures. Parents are often full of kindness towards their children, but there is no kindness like Jesus Christ's. When Paul was writing to Titus, a fellow worker in the gospel, and talking to him about salvation, this is what he said in Titus 3. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that we might become inheritors of eternal life. It's one of the most comprehensive statements of salvation in the Bible. And what it begins with is this: Jesus is the love and kindness of God the Father personified. Jesus is kindness in the flesh. And through him, the Father offers salvation. He does not save us because of any merit of our own, but because of his character. He saves us through the washing away of our sins. We are regenerated by the Spirit, and we are declared inheritors of eternal life. That is the salvation God offers to all, and he does this because of Jesus Christ, the visible love and kindness of God the Father. Friends, how do we think of these two realities, that God is both mighty and merciful, that God is both powerful and gentle, that Jesus is both strong and kind? Well, you know what? It makes all the difference in the world. We need both of these things. It means that Jesus is able to deliver us from our difficulties and sins. And more than that, he wants to. He enjoys that. If he was strong but not kind, he could save us, but he would not. If he was kind but not strong, he would love to save us, but he could not. In Jesus Christ, we see the two realities of who God is merge magnificently. Jesus is both lion and lamb. He is both omnipotent and gracious. He can be trusted. He rescues you, and he wants to rescue you, for that is the nature of our Saviour. 2,000 years ago, he chose to become the man of sorrows because he is strong and he is kind. We're going to sing again now. I'll invite our band out and we will sing together, Man of Sorrows.